Would you join me in prayer? Gracious Lord, thank you so much for the privilege we have to be able to open up your word, to read the revelation that you have given to us. Spirit of the living God, we pray that you speak to our hearts, allow us to understand, illuminate our minds, so that we may be a little deeper in you and that our lives can be changed because of the transformative power of your word. Thank you, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to take an opportunity, Barbara and I, to thank you all for keeping us in prayer as we had a very quick trip, safe trip, and it was a good time. So we'll share that a little bit later on. This passage here is a perplexing passage for many. Sometimes it's even hard to read. If you try to read it fast, you will stumble over it because it is just difficult. It gets to a situation. There are also a lot of theological interpretation of this passage. And I don't have a lot of time today, but I want to get into just a little bit so that we can better understand it. And it is, I would call, a really precursor to the chapter that a lot of people are just really inspired by, and that's Romans chapter 8. It is something that we need to understand before we get into that. But theologically, some people have a struggle with understanding who is this passage being written about. And Paul writes it, but is it about Christians or is it about non-Christians? Is it about someone else? Is it about himself and so forth? And so we want to begin by just taking a look at that a little tiny bit. There are those that are theologically sound, actually, but they believe that this passage is written about non-Christians, those who don't know the Lord. Because they said, how can you talk about being a slave to sin? How can you talk about all these things that you can't accomplish unless you're talking about someone who's struggling with sin, who is living in sin, who is actually a sinner, who is not even a believer? So some people have brought that on, and they've written books and theses and so on and so forth. But the thing that you want to look at is this, and as we remember, are reminded of the past six and a half chapters, is that if you are not a believer, if you're not born again in Jesus Christ, if you have not been regenerated, if justification hasn't happened in your life, if the righteousness of God has not been imputed upon you, then guess what? You frankly have no struggle at all with sin. You just live it every day. Because if you're not a believer, if you haven't experienced the power of the living God in your life, sin is not sin to you. You see, a person that is not a believer, well, he can live in sin and that's no issue. You say, well, they do have some standards. There's some morality in this world. Yes, there is, but it doesn't have the morality nor the righteousness of God that we've been talking about. It is the righteousness of man, which is not good enough. And so from this passage and from passages before, we can look at if you follow that, you're really kind of standing out there on a limb. It doesn't really do it. And then the other side is, okay, it's a Christian, but who is it talking about? It sounds to me like perhaps, or sounds to some, perhaps it is about some carnal Christian, some young Christian, a Christian that hasn't lived out the Christian faith yet. You know, life of Christ is so new that, you know, living in sin seems to be a normal thing. But if you look into it, you would discover that is not the case at all. Because when you look into it, you can really see that the Apostle Paul writing this letter, it sounds a whole lot like Paul is talking about himself. And certainly if you just read it with the plain eyes, just read it and you say, oh, Paul's talking about himself. And you get deep in it, you say, well, he can't be talking about himself because, well, the Apostle Paul is a very spiritual man. The Apostle Paul is a very mature man. And when he was writing this letter to the Romans, he was already a Christian for a long, long time. He's certainly one of the person that we would say is a mature and solid believer, right? How can he be talking about himself? But it is. He is talking about himself. See, if he's talking about himself, how can he talk about it like if he's not a solid Christian? Now, we'll talk about it a little bit more later. But I think one of the things that we need to understand as God's people is that when we get into the Christian life, when we grow in the Christian life, as we get deeper and deeper in the Christian life, That's when we begin to realize how sinful we are. Instead of being, oh, I'm not sinful anymore. I'm such a good Christian now. I'm such a Christian leader. Oh, no. The more you get into it, the more you understand, the deeper you are in understanding of the sinfulness of who you are as a sinner. We are sinners saved by grace. We say that loosely sometimes, but you know what? We really are sinners saved by grace. And every single time that we think otherwise, we're getting to a place where we become arrogant. We think we have done it ourselves. Oh, no, no. The more we get to know the Lord, the more we get to know the love of God, the more we realize how sinful we are. And so, and this would make sense. As the Apostle Paul, as he deepens in his Christian life, he begins to realize that, you know, it is so hard to deal with this issue of sin. That there's a lot more about sin than just like, well, the terrible things that I shouldn't do. There is deep sin that sometimes we just don't even recognize. So that's one of the things that we want to look at first before we get into. The second thing is, this is important. If you study the scriptures here, particularly chapter 7, but also even before, you realize this is a transitional moment. From Romans 7 up to verse 13, the things that are spoken about, if you look at it grammatically, you'll find that most of the times, the verbs are in aorist tense. Now, what does that mean? It means it's dealing with the past. Paul is talking about the past. And so from chapter 1 to here, the middle of chapter 7, oftentimes he's talking about the past. He's talking about how we were before we knew God at all. He's talking about how wretched we were in the past lives. And as he goes into regeneration, as he goes to justification, as he talks about how the gospel is the power of God unto salvation and how it impacts us, it is talking about the past. Because we've experienced that already. So a lot of times, these verbs, the things that we do, he talks about, is in the aorist tense, and it is the past. But right here, in verse 14, beginning here, it changes from that tense to the present tense. And so up to 7:13, it is talking about what God has done, how he has transformed us, how he's changing us. But right now, it is talking about how we live. And this is really important, because when we get to chapter 8, it talks about living out the Christian life in an amazing way, conquering way, a wonderful, awesome way. And as we move on into the future and we get to chapter 12 of Romans, we talk about how we need to go moving forward in the future. So this is important for us to understand what it is. And so Paul is talking about something that is happening now in his life. And so it's important for us to understand, he is describing the Christian life as it is now, beginning verse 14. I entitled the message, My Struggles, because it is dealing with struggles. And so he begins in verse 14, he begins by talking about my condition. This is really interesting. Let me read it for you. You have the sheet in front of you so you can follow along. I use the New International Version this time because I think it's a better translation. But nevertheless, there are a lot of things that we need to really catch it and really qualify it. And all translations, somehow they're a little weak here and strong there. But NIV is a little better this time. He says, we know, in verse 14, that the law is spiritual. Now the law, you remember what the law is. God has given that. Mount Sinai, and the things of God, all right? It's spiritual. It's a good thing. But I am unspiritual. He's describing his condition. This is the Apostle Paul now. Right now, he's been a Christian. He's been a Christian leader all the time. But he's saying, I am unspiritual. What is he talking about? The word here, the phrase actually, I am unspiritual, but I am unspiritual, is the phrase, ego de sukinoth, and which means, I am unspiritual, but better translation is this. This is important. The word sarkinos is the word for flesh. I am flesh. Sark is the word that is used in the Greek for flesh, just body, physical body. So he says the law is a spiritual, but I am unspiritual. And then he adds on to that, sold as a slave to sin. In case you don't recognize it, in case you haven't followed, in case you haven't read through and studied Romans, you need to understand that we are slaves to sin before the Lord. Before we came to know Jesus Christ, we're slaves to something, and that slavery is to sin. Sin was our master. Started by Adam, yes, but nevertheless, we were slaves to sin. That's who we are. We're literally in a cage, and that cage is what sin has put us in. We are slaves to sin. When we gave our lives to Jesus Christ, you need to know something, all right? Our spirit has been freed and reborn. It is something that is, you know, immune to sin in a sense. But nevertheless, we still, as the scripture told us earlier, that we still have this mortal body that we live in. This body here. Now, in case you don't recognize it, let me go back and share it with you. The moment I die, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, as I am, the moment I die, I will never sin again. The reason I sin is because of this mortal body. Because my spirit is encased in this right now until the Lord returns or he takes me. But my spirit is free from that. But doesn't mean I won't sin because I am in this mortal body. But the moment I die and you see me in a coffin, that body is dead. And it won't control me anymore. At that moment, I will never sin again. Because the Spirit of God has been born again. You got that? It is really important. But we know that the Lord is spiritual, but I am unspiritual. I am fleshly. I am of this body. And because of that, I am sold as a slave to sin because of Adam. So I'm in this cage of sin. This is our condition. This is what Paul wanted us to understand. Okay? You're a sinner. The gospel is able to save. God justified us so that our names are written in the book of life. He has regenerated us by giving us new birth in Jesus Christ. And now we're in this situation. This is the situation of humanity who knows Jesus Christ. This is where all Christians are. We are in this state in which we are struggling with sin because we have this mortal body. And whether we're a brand new Christian or whether we've been Christians for 50 years, we are struggling in this state, maybe different ways. And that's why in scriptures it talks about having to present your bodies as living sacrifices, Romans 12. It talks about having to crucify our flesh. It talks about all those things, right? Because we are in this state. This is where we are. As Christians, this is where we are. Those who think, oh, I'll never sin again. No, they're wrong because they've forgotten that we are in this mortal body. That's my condition. Paul said, this is my condition. I am sold as a slave. But he said, wait a minute. But what doesn't it matter that we gave our lives to Jesus Christ? How can we be slave to sin anymore? No, we are sold to sin as slaves, but we don't have to stay that way. The difference is this. When you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you know, that cage that you were in, there is a difference in that cage. That cage has got a door, and that door is open. In other words, sin is going to be there. But you have a choice. You have a choice. Before, there was no door. The door was completely gone. You're just locked in that cage. You have no choice whatsoever. You're going to live in sin because that's the condition, the state that you are. But when you give your lives to Jesus Christ, you may be in that situation, but the door is open. You're sold as a slave to sin, but you do not have to follow after it because sin is not your master if you will not let it. We read this before. We talked about it many times. So as a Christian, this is what we are. We don't live in sin, but sin lives in us. And what we need to do is take it out. Take it out. And as we go through Romans, we'll find out how. We'll find out how. But this is our condition. So me, as a Christian, I've been a Christian since 1970. My state is this. I am living in this world, and I'm struggling with sin. Why? Because my mortal body is still there. There are a lot of struggles I don't have anymore because I've dealt with them. I've crucified them. I lay them at the feet of Jesus. I say, Lord God, take that away, and I do not do that anymore. But nevertheless, there's still some other things. This is just how it is because we are living in our mortal body. And it goes on. This is our condition. Second thing he says is my struggle, doing what I don't want to do. I don't know if you ever remember that. you know, if you're a believer and you really want to strive to serve the Lord, you will go through that. There are moments in which you're like, I just don't want to hate that person. But he made me so mad. I don't want to feel so inadequate in this situation. I want to trust God, but I can't seem to. You know, I'm so worried about this. I know God talks about peace and trusting him, but I just can't seem to. You know? And then there may be situations in the past that comes back and it triggers things in your life. We go through those things. So I know I should do this, but I can't do it. I just can't do it. Oh, I know I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't be going to this place. I shouldn't be reading those things. I shouldn't be, you know, opening these pages in the computers. I shouldn't do these things, but I have no power almost. And that's what Paul is talking about. Paul is saying, you know what? The mortal body in me, the temptations that are there are so strong, I can't do it. Have you ever had that before? And you know, one of the things that we do, and we talked about it the last couple of weeks, is we struggle with these things. And sometimes we try to handle them by just saying they're not struggles anymore. It's kind of like there's a problem, eliminate the problem, there's no problem. Instead of handling the problem. When we get to Romans 8, we're going to talk about being victorious. We're going to go through the problems. We're going to handle the problem. We're going to be able to struggle through them and win and be victorious, not to just delete them. Today, that's what we do. Churches today, and maybe we do. Hope we don't. I think as long as we stay in the Word of God, we won't do that. But, you know, we just want to say, oh, that's not sin. That's not a problem. That's okay. You can do that. All these years, one of the things that I, you know, when I was studying seminary, one of the big deals that happened so long ago, I guess, was what is called a seeker-sensitive church, you know. And I love that church. I love the church in Chicago area, Bill Hybels Church. And the whole point there is to make church palatable for the world. In fact, on Sundays, it wasn't church for church people. In fact, the leadership of that church, Willow Creek, and it's a good church. And I want to tell you, I really love that church. But they wanted people, the Christians, to come on a Wednesday service to have enough room so that the sanctuary can seat non-Christians. I got it. Made a lot of sense. How do we reach people for Jesus Christ? We want to make things seeker-sensitive. Make it fun, you know. Don't sing hymns because nobody knows how to sing hymns. Don't do these boring things that Christians don't care about. And whenever they had Christmas program, boy, I am jealous. You kidding me? They had animals galore, camels and sheep and all kinds of stuff because they want to draw non-Christians. But over the last 40 years, I'm going to tell you, they're discovering that these churches, if they're not careful in these ministries, these desires get to a place where suddenly the gospel is watered down. The things that we need to deal with, we'll say, they don't have to deal with them anymore. And everything becomes just, well, the world. And so doing what I don't want to do doesn't matter. Do it. It's okay. No, pastor's telling you not to do that. Don't worry about it. Just do it. The apostle said, no, that's not who I am. Because in my spirit, I want to serve God. I want to follow after God. My spirit, the soul part of who I am, I want to do that. Why? Because it is heavenly. It is divine. It is something that has been born again. I want to do that. The problem is not there. The problem is not in my spirit. The problem is my body. I'm not able to do it. My flesh doesn't allow me to. My flesh is hurting me. My flesh is keeping me from doing those things. So here is the struggle that we have. We as Christians, we need to understand that's where we are. That's where we are. And it's okay. If it happened to Paul, it's going to happen to us. This is where we are. We live in a state in which we struggle. Sin is ever before us, and we struggle with that. You say, that's horrible. Sounds like a terrible life. You're struggling all the time. You can't succeed. You know, the Apostle Paul is talking, you know, almost in a place where we're stumbling. Our tongues are twisted reading what he said. But what he wanted us to know is that this is the state of God's people. We have been justified. His righteousness has been placed upon us. We have been regenerated. We are born again. And now this is how we are going to live our lives. But our lives are going to be in a place of struggle. It is like we are in a battlefield. C.S. Lewis said, you know what? We are behind enemy lines. We are not in a safe place. We are behind enemy lines. And the enemy is going to go after us. But that's okay. This is our state. We need to recognize where we are. My struggle. And then it goes on. Who will deliver me from this wretched condition? That's what the Apostle Paul writes, right? Wretched, miserable. That's what it means, that word. Who's going to deliver me from this miserable condition in which I am struggling with sin all the time? Who's going to deliver me? Now, this is a prelude to chapter 8, so it is not the ending. It is important for us to understand that. Paul wanted us to understand where we are, what state we're in. We are in that state of struggle. And so if you're living your life right now, and you say, I have a struggle with sin. Well, welcome to the club. You're not alone. You're not alone. I know there's some people that struggle so much to a place where they're just in depression even. Just want you to know, welcome to the club. You are not alone. We are there. Why? Because in our spirit, we know God. In our spirit, we want to do the right things. In our mortal flesh, the sin that's a part of there, well, it wants to do something else. And that's why the Apostle Paul pleads, who will deliver me? Who's going to help me? And isn't that great? Praise God for Jesus Christ, right? And that's why I brought the first two verses in chapter 8 to you. Because we need to understand that because of Jesus Christ and the power of God, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You can live in this situation, in this state, and know that you are, first of all, not going to be condemned. But second of all, the good thing is the Spirit of the living God is in your life. Some of you were here. Most of you, I think, were here when I preached to Galatians. You remember Galatians. We have to walk in the Spirit. You and I cannot live the Christian life if we do not walk in the Spirit. It's not possible. Because we're in this conflict stage. We're in this situation where sin's power is so mighty in so many ways. Unless we have the power of the Spirit of the living God in our lives, we will not overcome sin. We cannot overcome sin. We may not be enslaved to sin as my master, but nevertheless, sin is in my mortal body. And because it is my mortal body, I will not be able to do anything but walk in the flesh unless the Spirit of the living God is there. And that's why I tell you, and we talk about this in so many ways, how do you go through the Christian life if you don't spend time in prayer every day? How do you go through the Christian life if you don't study the Word of God? How do you go through the Christian life if you don't worship with God's people and pray for one another? How can you do it? You can't do it because we are in a state of conflict where the power of sin is right there. And the enemy is there any time and any moment to pounce upon us. But if we will walk by the Spirit, if we will trust in the power of the living God, say, you know, I am not a slave to sin anymore. I don't have to be in that cage. I can walk out that door. I can make choices, and God will give me the strength to do so. I want to tell you, those who have lived that out, some of you, and maybe many of you have discovered that, the very thing that you are in captivated by in the past of your sinful life, you are able to be delivered from, you're able to walk away from, you're able to overcome, and you are able to defeat because of the power of the Spirit of God. But I want to tell you, you cannot live that life if the Spirit of God is not in your life. You cannot live that life thinking, oh, I'm good. You know, I'm a Christian now. I can just live the way I want to and I'll be just fine. No, you are going to fail. You are going to live miserable lives. Just like the Apostle Paul said, what wretched life I am. Who will deliver me from this? I love it. Praise God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Next week we will not continue in Romans. We'll take a break for 1 week. But I am so excited about 8. I just got to tell you. Read 8 with me. Every day, just study it. It's awesome. God has some great and awesome plans for his people, for you, for me. I mean, we can't believe the kind of things that God has in mind for us. I mean, the lives that he has in mind for each one of you. It's amazing. It's amazing. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I want to thank you for what you have put into us, the Spirit of the living God, and the power that you have given to us to live out lives that are amazing. Oh, Lord God, we do not have to be mere survivors. You are telling us that we can be more than conquerors, not just conquerors, more than conquerors. Oh, God, thank you so much. So excited for your promises and the realities that you put into your people. Father, I know each person here are great victors. I pray that each one will live out that lives in excitement and joy. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to take a moment to thank you all, for those of you especially that contributed to just blessing the orphans. And we were able to bring all the shoes that you guys gave and donated. And so we have some slides here, and afterwards we will have our announcements.